Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Oh, this is such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
All right, what's the question?
All right, Mr. President.
I kind of ride the middle of the road. I told you this before. I own guns, and I'm for abortion.
It's definitely built inside orthodoxy in terms of portrayal of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father is the large black African-American woman. The Holy Spirit is an Asian, and then Jesus plays himself.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism.
There's that old Coke commercial where everyone, all the hippies standing on the hillside holding hands, linked together. I think every one of them has a bottle of Coke. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Coke was a solution, the real thing. It was an age where at least people had the aspiration that somehow we could all come together and agree, even though we obviously disagree. And religion is no exception. How do you examine, even begin to examine the truth claims, the competing truth claims of world religions and worldviews? Is it even worth your time to do so? Because it's religion, is it fundamentally impossible to examine the truth claims? Are they all simply subjective claims? True for me, not true for you, or maybe so. We're beginning a three-part daily series here on Issues Etc., examining religious truth claims today, evaluating competing truth claims. Greg Parton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 23rd of February. For the next 2 hours, our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. In the second half hour of the program, we'll do some Issues Etc. comment line. You guys leave your comments at 618-223-8384. We pick them up and we'll play them on the air and respond to your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Then, in hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Stephen Hine joins us to begin a daily series with him on the cross of Christ today. We'll be talking about the New Testament on the cross of Christ. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. Then, let's see. Oh, Thomas von Hagel is going to join us from Concordia University, Chicago. Today, the church remembers 2nd century martyr and bishop of Smyrna, St. Polycarp. He's a big one, by the way. We'll remember him in the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Craig Parton is a regular guest, an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, the United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the new book, Religion on Trial. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Pleasure to be here.
You got Buddhism, you got Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Mormonism, and then a bunch of other isms out there, all these competing truth claims. Why can't they all be true?
Well, fundamentally, because they have competing and contradictory positions on the essential issues, which can be illustrated a number of ways. I mean, they differ in terms of what they teach concerning God, for example, the nature of God. Atheists, there is no God. Agnostics, you don't know if there's a God. Polytheists, there's a lot of gods. Pantheists, New Age people, you are God. Islam, there's one God, Muhammad is his prophet, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, did not die on the cross. Judaism, there's one God, he is not triune, you know, and then you get to Christianity, which is God is triune in nature, and his Son, Jesus Christ, is fully God and fully man, lived a perfect life on earth and died an atoning death on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world and rose again for our justification. Those can't all be true. They may all be incorrect and false, but logically they can't all be true, much as we would like them to be. And this can be illustrated not just with their view of what they teach concerning God, but we could illustrate this in a number of areas, and most importantly in the area of how one is saved or whether one even needs to be saved, where they are absolutely contradictory. Now, in our culture, this isn't popular because everyone never wants to get to any depth level in analyzing world religions, cults, isms, and those kinds of things. They just want to say, well, look, they all generally teach a higher being and a kind of a generalized spirituality and a golden rule. And that way, everyone can say all religions are saying the same thing, and there's no fundamental contradiction when you get behind them. But that really does disservice to religions that do, in fact, teach not just different things, contradictory things on the most important issues and the fundamental issue of salvation, whether it's even necessary, and if it is, how one is saved.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, we're not dealing with science here, we're dealing with religion. Religion is a subjective thing. The truth of religion is small t truth as opposed to other kinds of truths that we can actually examine. We're really just talking about competing claims. While they may be competing, there's no way to evaluate them as to their capital T truth.
Well, that's an assumption. That's just a statement. You need to check these statements out themselves for whether they can be verified. And in fact, most religious claims are simply that. They are claims that are incapable of factual verification. So a person who says that, my response would be, you know, in the case of 99.9% of the religions in the world, and there's over 2,000 of them today, you're absolutely right. There's no point spending any time trying to check them out whether they're false or true, because they don't even make claims in that area. Their claims are simply, try me, enter into my experience, and I will self-validate my position. But only when you get to the great historical religions, and particularly focused on the factual claims of Christianity, as a trial lawyer, and particularly have been attracted to the factual claims made by Christianity that center on certain events taking place. And if they did not take place, the whole religion collapses by its own confession. In 1 Corinthians 15, in the eyewitness accounts of the apostles, the apostolic band, the claim is very clear. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, the apostles' position was they were self-deceived and they were deceiving others, and you ought not to follow this position because it's built on a fundamental lie that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead. If you can take that claim on head-on and refute it, you don't have to waste your time with Christianity. It makes factual claims. But many of the other religious positions, you don't even want to waste your time asking whether New Ageism and crystals are in fact true, because they provide you no way of verifying whether they're true or in fact falsifying their position.
Someone will say, look, it's just common sense. This is how we evaluate the truth claims that we have laid before us in religious systems. What do you say?
Take the position this is the fundamental way we verify truth claims?
Right. They would say the touchstone of truth would just simply be it seems right, or it seems to make sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is really relying on something more like intuition or common sense. And those are very dangerous ways to analyze something. You really want to apply a strong method to determine whether indeed facts took place or not. The same kind of method you would apply to determine whether Caesar crossed the Rubicon or not, whether Charlemagne was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in 800 AD or not, the same kind of historical factual inquiry should be applied to the New Testament events. And if that same historical inquiry is applied, it'll in fact be vindicated and has been vindicated in every case. So Christianity doesn't ask for people to apply a unique set of truth testing techniques to it. We want to be on the same level playing field as you would apply truth claims to any other historical event. And if it's something, the basis of saying or the foundation of saying, look, I'll believe it if it makes sense to me, is really kind of dangerous. There's a lot of things that may not make sense to you, but they're true, regardless of whether they make sense to you, whether they fit into your preconceptions or presuppositions. And in fact, the mark of a mature person who's willing to listen to evidence and to grow in their knowledge is that they're willing to reevaluate and readjust their worldview based on facts and evidence. It's the people who are not. It's the the racist person who says that that African Americans are inferior because of their skin color. No matter how much evidence you bring to them, they refuse to change their position because that makes sense to them. That's exactly what we're saying. Those are the kind of people that the standard of what makes sense to them is highly, highly dangerous.
We're talking with Craig Parton, beginning a 3-part daily series with him on examining religious truth claims today, evaluating competing truth claims. Craig is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the new book, Religion on Trial, which is forming the basis for our series with him. Our call-in number, live this Monday, the 23rd of February, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, we'll go to the Issues Etc. comment line, listen to some of your comments, and respond to them. Then in hour two, we'll spend some time with Dr. Stephen Hine talking about Christ's cross in the New Testament. And then, the very end of the program today, we'll remember, along with the church, St. Polycarp. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Stephanie Hammond, Deborah Kohlmeyer, Jeffrey Meyer, Steve Ross, Martha Lambos-Jordan, Jennifer Kim, Rob Vock, Ruth Stelter, Pastor Bill Chu, and Daniel Head. Thanks for your support.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Why does it have to be wrong or right? Why does it have to be one way or the other?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about evaluating competing truth claims. Craig Parton is our guest. He's United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and human rights. Craig, are there still some spots available for this summer's academy over in Strasbourg, France?
There are, amazingly enough. There are a few spots available for our session from July 7 to 18 in Strasbourg, and love to have those who are interested in more advanced training in the area of defense of the faith.
You guys have a kind of the big leaguers this time. In addition to Dr. Montgomery and yourself, you've got some two great names coming over to Strasbourg to teach.
Really do. We've got Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn, Modern Reformation magazine, author of a number of books, and a very accomplished defender of the faith. And then Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, who's been on both of these guys, has been on your show, I'm sure, a number of times. And Rod's a professor of apologetics at Concordia and trained me many years ago at Simon Greenleaf Law School along with John Montgomery. So it's highly unusual to get both Rod and Mike somewhere, particularly unusual to get Rod to get on an airplane to go to Europe. So I won't tell you what we had to do to get him to, but he did his doctorate actually at Strasbourg. So we could lure him over by coming to the city that he loves.
Yes, the food and the wine.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly he walks onto a plane like never before. folks, if you go
to try to get him there early so that the jet lag isn't too brutal. Yeah, but we love to have people. They can should go on our website at www.apologeticsacademy.eu for Europe, which, by the way, my wife reminded me, the euro is almost an all-time low right now, so it's a great time to get a value. There's always a silver lining to economic chaos, and a great time to come. And all the questions are answered on that, but they really ought to act quickly if they want to come and get in touch with Dr. Montgomery at the email address that's listed on that website.
Folks, if you go to our website, tonightissuesetc.org, click on demand, you'll find a link to the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Remember, Dr. Montgomery, Craig Parton, Mike Horton, Rod Rosenblatt, those four alone, a chance to spend time with them, worth it. Issuesetc.org, click on demand. Before, we were talking about how to verify these truth claims. Many will say that the truth of their religious claim or the truth of their claim is verified by their religious experience.
Right. You know, how exactly is a non-Christian supposed to decipher and distinguish between competing religious claims that are verified by experience? Because when somebody tells me that, my response is often, look, I have a lot of options out in the marketplace that are telling me to verify them by the experience, not just Christian Science, but Buddhism, a number of New Age religious positions, Hinduism and others that say I need to enter into them in order to verify their truth. What objective criteria can you give me as to why I should start with you? As Montgomery has said many times, what do? Alphabetize and start with the letter A? Well, you'll have gone through a number of religious positions before you ever get to Christianity. So really, you ought to start with those religious positions that ask to be verified, that are based on factual claims, and particularly Christianity's, because if you go to those central claims of Christianity, and if those are vindicated, the central claims that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that God, Jesus Christ is indeed God in the flesh, lived a perfect life, died an atoning death. If you can work on those issues, historicity of those claims and the facticity particularly of the resurrection, and get yourself aligned with that, that template, that position of the facticity of Christianity will then inform you about how to look at other religious claims. For example, then, if indeed you have arrived at the conclusion that Christianity is indeed factually true and that God is who he claimed to be in the person of Jesus Christ, it will give you an ability then to analyze claims and discussions about Jesus that you find in other world religions. For example, Islam, that comes 600 years after the life of Christ and says, by the way, Jesus didn't really die on the cross, didn't rise again for the sins of the world, and God is not triune. If indeed the New Testament Gospels or eyewitness firsthand accounts by folks that were at the events, and if you get yourself in the position of seeing that those events can be checked out and verified, that'll help you to understand just how seriously to take other religious positions when they're talking about Jesus. That's the fundamental issue that people should keep in mind. Where do these religious positions vary in terms of what they teach on how a person is in fact saved?
Don in Junction City, Kansas, emails a question. If there is no absolute truth from God, then man becomes a wild beast. Whoever has the power, then that person can enforce his absolute truth on other people. Hitler was a good example, says Don, of absolute power with no moral law from God. Your thoughts there?
That is a very powerful position, because ultimately that is true. As Wittgenstein, the great 20th century analytical philosopher, said, ethics, true ethics, is transcendental. That is, if you really had, as Wittgenstein says, if there truly was a book of ethics, that is, a book of standards that everyone had to apply to that came from outside, it would, with an explosion, destroy every other book in the world. And I believe that book can be verified to be nothing short of the Old and New Testament. And it precisely does that. It not only brings you words about how you are saved, but because it is truly the words of God, as Jesus verifies and attests to and verifies his claims to be God by rising from the dead, Jesus told you this is, in fact, the word of God. It is an absolute standard. And we've seen what happens. I think the Enlightenment to this day is a great testimony to what happens when people don't believe in a last judgment. Don's right on the money.
For some Christians, for many, in fact, I think logic is a dirty word. Can you, if clean it up for us, show us,
yeah,
if possible, why logic is not inimical to the Christian faith?
Yeah, exactly. In some religious Christian positions, you hear about people saying logic takes over for the scripture, you know, kind of thing. But in fact, everyone employs logic. And there's no such thing as Eastern logic, Zen logics, Southern Illinois, Missouri logics, Todd Wilkin logics. There is simply logic. And the basic principle of logic is what's known as the law of non-contradiction. Everyone employs it. It is the simple principle that something can't both exist and not exist at the same time. And it is a fundamental concept to any ability to learn and to investigate the world. Interestingly enough, it's why the Eastern religious positions, India, China, and Islam, ultimately, never could be a springboard for the development of modern science. That's not my opinion. That's the recent opinion of Dr. Huff at Oxford in his book on why modern science never arose from Eastern views of the world. And it's because there was never confidence that man was rational, reasonable, that he could think God's thoughts after him. Maybe God was illogical and irrational and one with nature. So, in fact, I tell let people know, logic is something they engage in all the time. To cross the street, they engage in logical analysis, which is analyzing evidence, drawing conclusions based on probabilities, and then making decisions based on the best evidence before them. And my assertion in Religion on Trial is that when basic fundamental principles of logic, legal reasoning, and indeed the scientific or empirical method are applied to the central claims of Christianity, Christianity is vindicated. Now, that doesn't mean you elevate logic and the legal method above God himself. It is, as Montgomery says in the Tractatus, logic is simply the scaffolding on which facts are hung. And the fact that you use logic or the legal method to arrive at a conclusion doesn't mean that you fall down and worship the method that got you there. It's the same illustration because you use a map to get to the king's house instead of to a garbage dump. When you arrive at the king's house, you don't fall down and worship the map instead of the king. But the fact is, that is the methods that we have to employ to engage a factual claims, and it must be so. There's no other way to analyze and investigate factual religious claims or factual any claims other than the empirical, scientific, legal method of analyzing truth claims.
With only about 30 seconds here, tomorrow we'll be discussing the fundamental case for Christianity. Just give us the briefest taste of tomorrow's conversation.
Well, you've got to center on what's fundamental to a position. As a trial lawyer, I always emphasize in cases what is fundamental to win or lose the case. Tomorrow we will look at what is fundamental in the case for Christianity, what itself presents as fundamental, how that case is presented, and whether it withstands legal scrutiny, particularly as looked at by trial lawyers over the past 500 years.
Folks, you can check out Craig Parton's new book, Religion on Trial, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're just skimming the surface of this book during our series with Craig, issuesetc.org. Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author of the new book, Religion on Trial. Craig, talk with you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to listen to some of what you've had to say recently on our Issues Etc. listener comment line. This is a comment line that we keep open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for your comments, your questions, your suggestions, your criticism. We really do like hearing the criticism. 618-223-8384, Issues Etc. listener comment line, right after this.
This time I'm gonna stay right here. This time I'm gonna stand right here in the truth. In my truth.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Now's the time to participate in the Red Envelope Project. One side of the envelope is addressed to President Obama. The other side reads, "This envelope represents one child who died in abortion. It's empty because that life was unable to offer anything to the world." The red color represents the blood of over 50 million babies who've died by abortion. The goal is to create a tidal wave of red envelopes in the mailroom of the White House. It's easy to participate. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Then follow the simple directions to order your envelopes. It's easy. Seal it, stick on a stamp, and mail. Share your envelopes with everyone you know. Join the tidal wave of people who are standing up for America's unborn babies. Make a difference today.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Gary Jacobs, Sherry Engelbart, Pastor Bruce Smith, Kevin Kirchel, Kristen Milligan, Rosalie Van Opstel, Jacob Heckert, Pastor Marion Hoffman, and Pastor Aloysius Majewski. Thanks for your support.